rebounds by Smith. And no rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say, go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. With you, as always, is Matt Ritter. And on the phone this time, we have Jeff Cerulli, because we're dealing with some internet issues.
Yeah, we're back in 1997 here, and my modem is not working.
Well, hopefully that won't deter our fans from being excited about this week's podcast, because it's the best week, I don't know, we've had as Knicks fans since, what, 99? Or do we go back to 94? Yeah, the 99 playoffs, that's probably, I mean, have you been, is there any moment since then that you've been as excited about than basically this week?
Well, here's what I will say. Yeah, 99, which wasn't a great year, because they underachieved all year. That's why they had the 8th seed. That's why they got that. The next year was kind of like a business as usual year. Like, you know, they played pretty well, won over 50. And then the Pacers were just a better team and beat them in each conference final. I don't know how you felt that year. I felt like they were going to lose to the Pacers, and they did.
Yeah, I didn't have the general excitement of, like, this is a championship team. Even in 99, I didn't feel that way.
No, it was kind of came out of nowhere. You just kind of, I like the pieces. I like Sprewell and Camby. I thought they were all good moves, but it didn't. But I think you need to apologize to Knicks Nation for not believing in this team hard enough that they could win over 50.
Well, I'll say this, and I'll apologize to Knicks Nation for not thinking they were going to get 50, but that had nothing to do with the fact that I've always thought that they were going to go far. I just thought regular season injuries were going to ding them up, and that's why they were going to end up at 49 wins. But I was wrong. Jeff's prediction of 53 is looking very, very good right now.
Yeah.
You think they could get more than 53?
That's all I wanted. Well, what do they got? 6 games left, so I think it just depends what happens if they're going to rest guys. That means they clinch the division hopefully tomorrow against the Wizards. So, you know, I think they're going to get to 54 now. They're going to go 4-10.
Yeah, but you mentioned resting. I mean, don't we want that 2 seed pretty badly too?
Yeah, but that might be locked up, because if you beat the Pacers, then you're going to be like 3 games up. So let's say you're up 3 games with 2 left, then you've clinched the 2. That's what I mean.
Well, the Knicks have to get to 53 wins then and beat the Pacers, right? Because the Pacers are at 29 losses now.
Yeah.
So as long as the Pacers, yeah, so as long as we beat the Pacers and we win our Washington, Charlotte, whoever, I mean, even a rested team can beat Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Cavs also. The two tough games are the Pacers and the Bulls. The rest is the Bobcats, Wizards, Cavs, and whoever the other shit.
Atlanta,
who I don't care about. So, yeah, so let's say you win those 4 and you lose the other 2, you're still getting a 2 seed.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, but this,
like, they couldn't get a few weeks ago.
It would be really nice if we could rest, you know, Anthony and Chandler the last 2 games.
Yeah, Chandler would finally have his first good game back. I shouldn't say finally, he was out for a while, but he, you know, it takes a while to come back, so I thought he played really well yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's funny because people don't realize, who don't really watch the NBA every day, like, you cannot come back from an injury and be good your first game back.
No, you saw it with Amari, you've seen it with Melo, even. Like, it's such a grind, it takes a little adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this, you know, it seems like now for the first time, everybody on the Knicks is clicking right now. Everyone's playing well.
Well, you saw a resurgence from the bench yesterday. Everyone, like, the beginning of the year, you got, you know, this ball movement, this great ball movement, Melo at the 4, and then it went away. Jason Kidd died. Novak was inning shot. Now everything's working, and with the addition of Kenyon Martin, it's all clicking right now.
Who are you, who are you more excited about that they're playing well? J.R. Smith, Raymond Felton, or Jason Kidd?
Probably J.R. Smith. I think he means the most. Well, Felton means the most, because when he's off, they're off. Obviously, the starting point guard. And, you know, he was banged up. He got really bad stretch, but it's because he's banged up. You know, the guy's got a lot of heart, plays hurt. So I felt like people were just kind of riding him a little too hard. I know he wasn't playing well, but I think there was a reason for it. But Jared Smith is, like, playing so much better with the driving, and he's going to the line so much more. Like, it's just night and day with what he's bringing to the table. And Kidd is hitting all his open shots again. It's like, it's amazing this is all coming back at the right time.
It really is. Is it almost, like, are you a little afraid it's happening, like, a week too early?
Yeah, I don't because of the matchup. I'm so curious to see them play the Bulls and the Pacers and going, you know, into the last 2 weeks of the season because, you know, that's two games they could play in the playoffs.
I mean, we're definitely going to play one of them, I would think. I know. I think it's just residual fear you have from the old days.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup with Garnett back. It's a good matchup for Boston if they're going to have to play someone, you know?
But you know what? Like, here's the thing. Mentality. Here's the thing, right? If we are what we think we are, then we should want to play the Celtics. You know what I mean? Like, we should want to be able to have a good win over the Celtics.
Just to bury them?
Just a full-on changing of the guard, at least in the Atlantic Division. And it might be, but I would like to, I'd like, you know, there's a lot of things at play. I'd like Melo to be taking that torch from Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
You know, like the clutch small forward torch. I feel like sometimes you have to bury your demons, and the Celtics are definitely one of the Knicks' demons that need to be buried. You know, I mean, if we avoid them, fine, you know, because we would destroy Atlanta in the first round. We would sweep them. Yeah, if Jeff Green is their best player and we can't beat them, like what is that, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think the Knicks are way more loaded than the Celtics, and yeah, it's a little bit of a dicey matchup. But I'd rather play the Celtics than the Bulls.
I agree. Look, the Bulls still scare me. I mean, I don't know how else to slice it. The Bulls are a great defensive team, and that caused us a lot of problems.
Yeah, the Bulls.
Well, Luol Deng, outside of LeBron, I think Luol Deng is the best defender in the league at the small forward spot.
Yeah, what else can you base it on? If we've lost to a team badly three times, they're going to play one more time. I think they're going to beat them this time just because I don't think they're going to lose every game to the Bulls.
I'm not so sure, man. It's in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm just going to base it on that.
I mean, look, I hear what you're saying. It's very hard to sweep a team, but... You know, we're on the road in Chicago. I don't know. I mean, they have a lot to fight for right now.
We probably wouldn't play Chicago, though, because Chicago would get Miami in the second round, and Miami would beat them.
I agree with you. I think we're on a collision course with Indiana right now for the second round. I don't think we have to worry about Chicago. I would like to see the Nets slip to six, actually.
The Nets slip to six?
I don't fear the Nets at all.
Well, then the Nets
would
have to go to seven, then.
Well, yeah, seven, I guess. I guess they couldn't slip to seven, could they? No.
No,
it'd
be too far off.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess if we were three, I'd like to see the Nets slip to six.
I'd play the Nets, too.
No, but you're right about something. I mean, I think if we win our next three games, then, you know, the Indiana game, if they've already lost by then, it's a moot point. Yeah, I mean, look, even if we go 2-1 in the next three games, right, that puts us at 52 wins. If Indiana manages to lose another one, I don't know how the tiebreak works, but we're definitely going to win one of the Charlotte or Atlanta, so there's a chance that maybe we rest some guys against Indiana, even.
Wouldn't it be go to conference? I don't think it's conference.
Yeah, but I'm saying, just hear me out with this logic, right? Even if we don't technically have it locked up against Indiana when we play them, we're probably going to have a two-game lead with you know, two games left against Charlotte and Atlanta. Wouldn't it make sense to kind of rest our guys against Indiana anyway because they're such bangers and we don't really want to have such a physical battle like a week before the playoffs?
Well, that was the mentality I've been hearing with some theories of why the Heat rested LeBron and Wade against us because of Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana's got a lot of guys that'll whack you around. I don't know that. I think if the Knicks win their next three, then they'll probably have already clinched. But even if they don't clinch, they have Charlotte and Atlanta after that to make sure they do clinch, you know?
So the next three games are Wizards, Charlotte, Atlanta?
No, the next three games are Wizards, Chicago, Cleveland. What I'm saying is...
I got you.
Yeah, even though theoretically we won't have clinched versus Indiana, even if we lose to them, we know we can still clinch with the other two games.
Yeah, that might be the smart move because then you have the other two games. Okay. Yeah, I can get behind that.
I just feel like after seeing LeBron and Wade do that to us, I'd kind of like to do that to somebody else, too.
Yeah.
The sit down, you know? The sit down, we'll see you in the playoffs. The don't take anything away from this win move.
Yeah, like I said, I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah.
But you have some leeway there.
Yeah. By the way, we have to get into this week that was Melo's week. I mean... This was the best week of Melo's career. I think anybody who hasn't watched the Knicks all season, you know, probably has a different perception of Melo than we have now because, you know, the Melo that we've seen all year is a complete player on the offensive end. He's not a selfish player. He basically makes sure his team has the best shot most of the time. And I think this week put together his offensive strengths and his team strengths, and it was just, I don't know, the best week I've ever seen a player play.
Yeah, I mean, Durant is a great scorer. Melo's a great scorer. They went head-to-head yesterday. And the thing I like about Melo over Durant is Melo, it's just his game, it's a more overall impactful game because he's got the inside. Durant is not, he has no post moves inside. He has the outside shot. That was always better than Melo. But this year, Melo's been so clutch and he's been so reliable long range that can you really say Durant's a way better shooter than Melo?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Durant's a slightly better shooter than Melo.
So, and Melo's got the inside. And no one right now is better at taking it to the hoop, getting his rebound, putting it back. Nobody's better right now at doing that in terms of how good a scorer he is.
I mean, that kind of relentlessness, I don't know what else you can say about Melo. That was unbelievable what he did against Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's like a bully inside. He gets his rebound, and he wants it, and he has, like, the perfect word, relentless. Durant's a little more passive. If Durant played in New York, he'd be called passive a lot and would want to see more fire under him.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought, like, this week for Melo was Melo saying, I think I'm the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, from a talented standpoint, he's the most talented Nick of our lifetime. I mean, even more than in our lifetime.
More than Bernard King? More than Patrick Ewing?
More than Patrick Ewing. He can do more than Ewing. Ewing developed... When Ewing came out of college, Ewing was a defensive monster, and he developed his game and the fadeaway jumper.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
Very, very good. But in terms of who can do the most, I think Melo.
Yeah, you know what's funny about Ewing, too? Ewing's defense kind of slipped when his offense was kind of amazing.
I don't know. It's tough to say. Ewing was really good, and King was early in our lifetime, and it was short.
Yeah, but I think it's a kind of a, you know, irony or nice coincidence that Bernard King gets into the hall when, you know, Melo just going off like this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he reminds me of. Again, you know, he was early in our lives, and then he played for, I remember him for the Bullets, obviously, that we were young there, too, but just a freak. I mean, he's just so good, and you got to appreciate it, and, you know, you got to sometimes look at that, like, the first time they won 50 since 2000, I mean, it's fun right now, it's really fun, no matter what happens in the playoffs. I mean, obviously, it'd be disappointing if they, well, the first round, but it's been a really fun season.
Yeah, I mean, let's pray they're not going out in the first round, but yeah, we do have to remember that we went through 15 years of complete duty, and now we have a team that, by the way, next year should look really good, too.
What do you do about Amari? Their record without him is so much better than with him. They're like 34 and 13 without him and like 13-13 with him. I mean, look, he played well offensively. We know that when he was there. He was very good offensively. But is it just that his defense is so bad with Melo, who's not a great defender? Is it just a bad combination that it just doesn't work? I mean, what do you think about that?
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I was having a talk with somebody today, just a buddy of mine, and it's like, he may just be a net zero. Like, I don't know. You know, we watch his offensive game, and like, it's exciting because he's really put it together down low, but he's so bad that it's like, plus minus really matters.
Yeah, it does.
And like, I think it is the combo with Melo, like, because Melo's not a good defender.
And that's fine. You can have one guy who's not a great defender, if you have Tyson Chandler, Kenyon Martin, and he's such a good offensive weapon. So that's Melo. Now, when you add Amari, yeah, it's just, I mean, because it's kind of like, at this point, I don't think it's Amari's fault, but at this point, it's like, you look at these stats, and it's like, holy shit, they were amazing in November when he wasn't around. Comes back, they sputter. They were sputtering a little before he got back, and all of a sudden he gets hurt again, and now they're great again. So, and what are we supposed to make of this?
That he's the Antichrist. I mean, you know, but here's the thing, right? So let me ask you this scenario. Is that he comes back and he's, you know, second round, and, you know, we're in a 2-2 series, Amari's healthy, you know, don't you think there's opportunities for him to come in against a rugged team like Indiana, who's going to be very hard to get buckets on?
Yeah, I think he can help. That's the problem. I don't know what to think. You know, I think he can help, but then these stats, it's just like, yeah, it's a team like Indiana that's bigger, he could certainly help. He could at least get fouled. And at least get fouls on them, you know?
And you know who else he can help with? I mean, if, God, you know, God willing, we make it to Miami, I feel like he's an asset when they lock everybody else down, you know?
I was for Amari needs to start campaign.
I know. I mean, because the thing is, Amari's game, from what the limited amount we saw this year is unstoppable offensively.
Yeah. He was really good with the spin move, and it was really polished down low. It was way more than, you know, than just dunks and that outside jumper. Like, it was really good. He looked really good offensively, and it was also high percentage. It was like 13-15, 14-17. Like, it was a very high percentage, except that one last game against the Thunder that he wasn't good.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because this big knock against Melo is like, oh, he's a high usage, you know, low efficiency guy. But you know, these last couple weeks, he's just been tremendously efficient.
Yeah, he hit that three at the top of the paint, like, when I think they were, like, down by one. Like, he was so good yesterday. He's been so good this whole week.
You know what's crazy about how hot he is? You know what's crazy about how hot he is? He has not hit rim on any of his shots.
No, and he was never a great, great three-point shooter. But this year, he's been great.
Yeah, it's been all swishes. I wanted to ask you about the other team that we played on Sunday, Oklahoma. I mean, did you feel like that was their healthy squad, right? So that's, and they're at home. They presumably should have won that game, and they wanted to win that game. Did we just not catch them on their best day, or are they not as good as advertised?
Well, here's what I will say. I think they don't know who their top five guys are. I've heard that theory before, and I'm kind of starting to believe it, because I think the rotations are a little off. And you look at that game yesterday, and they came out great. Remember Ibaka? He was, like, blocking shots. He hit a three-pointer in the corner, and then he kind of didn't do anything. And I still think they miss James Harden, obviously, a guy who can, when things aren't going well, can get you buckets and can do some things. Kevin Martin can hit the outside shot, and he's very good at that, but that's about it. James Harden can drive and do a little bit more, you know? And then it's kind of like Durant was playing really well, and then Westbrook took over, and then kind of Durant, but it just kind of went like back and forth. That was a big three Westbrook took at the end. You remember that one that he missed?
Yeah, I think, I think Westbrook, you know, like, we don't have that alpha dog problem on the Knicks. I think they have it on Oklahoma.
Yeah, it was Durant and Westbrook, and Durant, Westbrook, it wasn't so much like a team effort, per se. Like, with Melo, the ball's flowing, J.R. Smith-Melo is never a problem because it's Melo's team.
Yep.
There's no discrepancy. J.R. Smith will tell you that's Melo's team. You know, with Oklahoma City, yes, that's what I was getting at. Whose team is it? And then plus Perkins is pretty much garbage.
Yeah, he is. You know what's crazy to me? I mean, it's just insane. And Durant defends Westbrook, but there's no way on earth that Westbrook should average more shots per game than Durant. It's ludicrous.
No, I mean, Westbrook's important what he does, and he's very, very good. But I don't know, man. I don't know how well those guys mesh together when you watch them. I just don't know. I mean, what's the success rate with two alpha dogs? It's not very good, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. They're, like, from what I was watching, I agree with you. They seem a little disjointed. And Westbrook, you know, it's like at the end of the game, like, I just felt like he was forcing, and that's what you hear about them when you're not watching your games. And I sort of felt like we saw it play out. Like, Westbrook played a great individual game. Durant played okay. But unless those guys are on their game, I mean, they're not going to beat a top team.
It's tough because they can run. Like, I just didn't like what I saw. And also inside, like we have Melo inside now, you know? And even Kenyon Martin can give you some stuff inside, and Chandler has some stuff inside. I don't know, man. They were getting it from Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, he was their best player, actually.
He was their best player inside, and he shouldn't be. So, you know, they're kind of but still in the West with them running, like, I still think they're going to make the finals.
I hear.
They run past San Antonio.
Here's the
thing. They can beat San Antonio, no problem.
Here's the thing. I mean, talent. You know, like obviously, you know, Durant and Westbrook didn't have their best. They both didn't have amazing games. If those guys are both on their games, locked in, they can win a couple games by themselves. But they're going to need. If you remember, the reason the Spurs series turned was Ibaka went 11 for 11 and Perkins went 6 for 6 in that game, in Game 5 or whatever it was. I mean, so those guys have to step up, but I have to say this.
Perkins and Ibaka, like, they'll never shoot that well again.
Yeah, but I have to say this. I cannot believe that they didn't give it a run with James Harden now that I look at how, you know, I mean, like, they would have been, this year they would have won the championship hands down.
Why did they have to trade him? Kevin Martin, they can't get him next year? It's like, look, if they had to get rid of Harden in the summer, they could have done that, they could have got something. But if you make that run again with Harden, Westbrook, Durant, after just making the finals, like, yeah, they would be a lock. They would be an absolute lock.
Yeah, I feel that way, too.
A lock.
Like I feel like this guy, Presti, got, you know, people were split. Some people were bashing him, and other people were like, oh, well, it's smart, you can't keep him. But this league is about championships. I mean, Dallas, you know, had a chance to win one championship, and that changed the legacy of Nowitzki forever. I actually think, you know, look, and you know, obviously I'm the most biased Knicks fan in the world, but I've been saying it all year, this is a down year for the league. The Knicks could steal a championship this year.
Sure, you just got to get past Miami and then anything can happen in the finals.
By the way,
proven they can win on the road, they beat San Antonio on the road, they beat the Thunder on the road. Like, they could beat some of these West teams on the road.
Yeah, by the way, here's the other thing, the reason I say it's a down year in the league, the Knicks streak isn't impressive, but Miami's streak isn't impressive, the Clippers streak isn't impressive, there are too many long streaks for it to be impressive.
No, Miami's streak's impressive.
I don't think so. I'm looking at the league now. I think if the Knicks played hard, they could win out, and they'd be on they'd be on an 18-game winning streak to end the year.
I see what you're saying. Some of it, but the Heat 27 is still pretty impressive, though.
I just think there's so many blah teams this year. There's people are talking about how the West is loaded. It's not really.
Well, it always is. I mean, you just have those quality teams. The West is better, no question, but, still, though, come on. There's, like, 550-win teams in the West, and there's two out East.
No, I mean, look, the East is absolute garbage. That's why I think these streaks aren't that big of a deal, because the East has, you know, three good teams, the Knicks, Indiana, and Miami. Everybody else is just blah.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, what we were saying before, it is a little bit of a down year. And look, people, if you think Miami can't be beat, you're insane. Like, these people are talking about it. Like, I listen to stuff, they're like, nobody can beat Miami. No, there's no way. But you know what? If this is sports, this is how it is. This is not the 96 Bulls. It's possible to beat Miami. Is it definitely going to happen? You know, obviously, yes, it's hard. But come on, if no one can possibly be Miami, they're going to run away with it?
Yeah, I know. It's that's why I'm saying the streak isn't that impressive to me. I mean, because, like, Dude, Shane Battier, Norris Cole, Udonis Haslem, like, get out of here. Ray Allen at this stage of his career, come on.
Yeah, but they're just good role players, though.
No, I'm just saying, this is not the 96 Bulls. This is not the 96 Bulls.
Yeah, but the thing about the 96 Bulls that year, though, and I just touted the 96 Bulls, that, if you want to talk about watered down, that's not an expansion year. You have the Raptors and the Grizzlies, and the talent is way more than it is now.
No, you're right. That was kind of down year, too. I just think this is a down year as well.
Well, I think the 96 Bulls, obviously, were a stronger team than Heat because you have the best player of all time as opposed to the best player right now.
Yeah. Look, I also...
And I just think they can be beat. I think the Knicks beat them three times this year.
They have absolutely no size either, Miami.
Yeah, like I said, you can take what you want, that LeBron and Melo, LeBron and Wade didn't play in one of those games, and, you know, but, come on, man, like, if we play them, the Knicks will be huge underdogs, but it wouldn't be impossible, you know, it just would not be impossible for the Knicks to beat them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree, man. Look, I think, you know, if I were a Vegas odds maker, I'd make the Knicks, like, 4-1 underdogs. Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I don't think Miami's even money to win the championship at this point, looking at the league. I think, you know, Oklahoma's probably their equal. I don't know. You're down on San Antonio, huh?
Not down on them. I just think Oklahoma City's going to run. Actually, it's the same deal. I think we run past them. San Antonio's a well-oiled machine. They're going to win close to 60 games or 60 games. But I just don't know. I don't know what you're getting out of Manu. And I just think Oklahoma. I'm only talking about Oklahoma City. I also think Memphis is a bad matchup for them because they're going to match up well.
Yeah.
But they have to play Memphis again. Memphis beats them. I don't like the Clippers in the playoffs either. I think they're a funny team.
Yeah, you know, because Blake Griffin is garbage.
You just want to see more post moves out of him, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's at the point in his career where if he doesn't develop a post game now, he's destined to be Dwight Howard at best.
Yeah.
And he doesn't play great defense either.
No. I mean, we talked about it before. When his skills go down a little bit and he's not the high flyer, he needs something else to keep him going.
You know, but again, you know, this is why I'm saying it's a hugely down year. Memphis is garbage. Come on. I mean, like, you know, a team with Mike Conley as your second or third best.
Conley's good, man. You're going to shit on Mike Conley?
I'm just... Could you ever see them winning a championship with the team that they have? You know, they have zero chance of winning this year.
I wouldn't say zero. It's tough, though. You don't think they could beat San Antonio? They beat them 2 years ago.
I don't think Memphis could beat San Antonio and Oklahoma City and the Clippers. I don't think they could beat two of those teams. You know, they'd have to beat two of those teams. Right?
Ideally, it'd probably be the Clippers and San Antonio, and then you have to beat Oklahoma City on the road.
I don't
think they would do that, but I don't think you could say Memphis is garbage, though. I think they're a quality team.
I'm just talking about, like, overall the league, like, the real contenders. I think the real contenders is a very short list, and I think the Knicks are on it. I think it's four teams. I think it's...
Well, what if the Knicks were out west, and you had to go play San Antonio, and then... Memphis, and then...
Now, look, I'm just... Okay. The league is what it is. I'm not saying the Knicks would be the same record if they were out west. We might have had a worse record, but the league being the way it is, the Knicks have a more legitimate chance because of the easier road.
Absolutely. And it might start against the Celtics, and we talked about that.
Yeah. We should take a look at this week coming up, actually, because it is a big week. This is, you know, the season's winding down.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said... we predicted they'd go 2-2, and they did better than that. They went 4-0.
They made us look foolish.
Was the first game Miami? Was it the first one?
Yeah, it was Miami.
Yeah, I had them go. I had them beating Miami, but then losing to the Hawks.
Yep.
In a letdown.
Yep.
So, and everyone had them losing to the Thunder yesterday. They were just going to chalk that up. Thunder going to take care of business.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like how the announcers were like, this was the Knicks putting Miami and everybody else in the league on notice. I like that.
Yeah, we did. We put everyone on notice.
You know, who's putting the league on notice a little bit, and we're playing them on Tuesday. John Wall.
The Wizards are playing well.
Yeah.
Cakewalk.
You know they started. You know they started the season 4-29. They actually have a winning record since then.
Yeah, and then they started 0-12.
Yeah.
They're playing well. They beat us last month. They beat us.
And when they beat us, it wasn't for lack of trying on our part.
No, it was one of those games where we're down, and then we got the lead, and you're like, all right, they're gonna win late in the third, and then the Wizards just got off really hot in the fourth, and that was it.
I mean, Felton really struggles with these John Wall type point guards, which is half the league now.
Yeah, exactly. It's so fast. I think we're gonna win because of the streak and everything, and you get 51 and clinch the division.
Yeah, I think we're gonna win. Then in Chicago, I think we're gonna lose in Chicago.
Yeah, it'd be fitting if they lost because Chicago ended Miami streak. They would end our streak. Chicago's home. But I'm going to give it a win just because, fuck, man, we can't lose all three to Chicago, can we?
We could. And then we have Cleveland the next night. I think we both agree that's a win.
Well, I mean, the way you're looking at it would be, if they clinch the division against the Wizards, I could see a big letdown in Chicago because it's almost like it doesn't matter. Cleveland, they're going to win. I don't care about Perry or not. I think it's in Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, although last year they lost a fucking big game in Cleveland that they would have not played the Heat if they won. They would have played the Magic, I believe.
Yeah. And then we have the big...
taking the Magic spot. And then...
then we have the big Sunday game against Indiana at home.
Well, that's Sunday. Is that a day game?
3:30, yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I'd like to think we're going to win because, I just feel like we're our home. We've been a pretty good home team.
Very good. Yeah, picked up. We had a little bit of a bad stretch there. I mean, they were shit on the road and home anyway, but, you want to send a message, right?
Yeah.
This is a team we're going to have to face. I believe Indiana's up 2-1 in that series. And we got crushed by them.
But like I said, if we win our three games before that, we might just sit our stars and say, F you, Indiana.
I'd like that, too. That'd be nice. I'm going to give it a 3-1 week. I'm going to be a little high here.
Yeah, no, I think 3-1's right. I think 3-1's right.
The loss.
Yeah, I think Chicago's the loss. Let's do our Knicks, the Knicks of the week, where there's a lot of Knicks to choose from. You think that's the best thing that happened to the team?
Number five, Amari Stoudemire, sitting out.
Nice. All right. Well, my number five is Kenyon Martin, because at the beginning of the week, he really he stepped it up for a couple games.
He did. He played really well.
And, he's hurt now, but let's not forget his accomplishments. And my number four is Tyson Chandler. Again, he missed the beginning of the week, but... I think he's really rounding back into form. He'll probably make it to the top of the list one more time by the end of the year.
Yeah, I put J.R. Smith for Mr. Consistency all of a sudden, driving the basket, getting fouled, playing real well. Hit that big three to go up 7 yesterday on the thing that felt in what was that? It was just like a broken play, kind of like volleyball tipped it.
Yeah, that was incredible. Who's your
three?
Who's your number three?
I put Pablo. They have not lost since he went to the starting lineup. Pablo Prigioni. The Knicks are undefeated with Pablo starting.
You just stole my thunder. I thought I was going to surprise you with that same exact statistic at number three for Pablo, because he's really doing it. My number two is actually J.R. Smith, just for those game winners at Oklahoma. I mean, he put the nail in the coffin with that shot from Felton, and that shot was from like 28 feet away. It was just, that was really nice to see him, just drain it right after Westbrook missed that erratic Westbrook. And he was, by the way, J.R. was like 1 of 9 from three-point land before that.
Yeah, that Westbrook shot, that was huge. I mean, they would have been down one if he hit it.
Yeah.
You could have lived with him hitting that. You still would have had the lead. But if you miss it, it's almost like game over.
Yeah.
So that was a big shot. I put who did I put for two? Did I do my going?
No, now you got to do it.
Oh, I put Felton. That's what I put. Yeah, Felton. Because he's just been consistent. Hitting three again. I mean, he's like a bulldog. He's just been really consistent.
Very, very, very underrated. Very underrated.
Yeah, exactly. He had a good year, with all things considered.
Very good year. I think it's gotten lost in the shuffle because of his injury and whatever else was going on. Very good year for Raymond Felton. He deserves a little kudos. I mean, I still think he's eating too much, but that's, you know, for another... I still think he's eating too much on the road at the hotels.
You think he's a little fat?
I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like he needs Melo's trainer. Melo looks even thinner now.
You think Felton looks a little fat, you're saying?
Yeah.
Damn.
Maybe I'm nitpicky about weight. Yeah, I assume our number ones are both the same.
Yeah, you gotta put them there.
Yeah, it's obviously it's James Flight White, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I'm winning that one. I'm winning the our number one is obviously Carmelo Anthony for amassing 150 points this week.
Yeah, he had a 50-point game, a 40-point game, 40, and then I think 30. Four.
Yeah, 36.
What a slacker. He couldn't get 40.
I know. Pathetic. By the way, I'm winning the... I took Copeland as my boy, and you had White.
Yeah, and White doesn't get play anymore, nor should he.
Yeah, Copeland's looking really good.
Let's go. How do you define really good? Can you define that for me?
Yeah, he scored 18 points.
Look, Copeland can hit the open shot, okay? But that's it.
Are we going to need Copeland to hit a shot in the playoffs for us at some point? I think so.
Maybe. And yes, he's valuable there, but that spin move, I mean, like, he's just so slow on that spin move. He got blocked. It's like, dude, come on. I know he had one layup on that. And defense, he's so bad. He's so bad defensively that he's a liability. So you kind of got to hide him. But he can hit open shots, so he is valuable there. He does hit open shots. So he can give you something, but man, oh man, he is.
He is.
Like I said, he is on Bulls versus Lakers.
He is slow. I'll tell you one thing. Prigioni is the first guard since Danny Ainge in 1982 to start off 12-0 as a starter.
Yeah, very Ainge-like numbers. I agree.
Yeah, Prigioni is a godsend. I apologize to his family.
Yeah, you didn't win that one. You the 50. Look, man, if you go back to check the tape for the first one, you were wrong about Prigioni. But I'll tell you what I was wrong about, Ronnie Brewer. Did we even see him last night?
So I was.
On the city now. He didn't get in.
No, he didn't even get any burns. So I was right about Ronnie Brewer, and I was right about Copeland.
Yeah, but you did say James White looks more like a professional athlete.
He still does.
Yeah, like he looks like he could out there.
I mean, I don't understand how other NBA players who are guarding Copeland aren't humiliated when he scores on them.
Yeah, he is so slow. My God.
You know, the crazy part is I feel like Durant should have demanded the ball more when Copeland was guarding him.
He should have. Durant had that one nice block on Melo.
That was a good block. That was embarrassing for Melo.
Is it though?
Not really. It wasn't a good move, though. It wasn't really a good turnaround. He didn't like shake and bake.
Man, it was a little lazy.
Yeah, it was a lazy move.
Half-baked.
What do you think? Who do you think wins the scoring title?
It just depends what's going to happen. It's just going to come down to who plays. That's it. You know, it depends on who plays and who rests. That's what it's going to come down to. If OKC has the number one locked up, because the Spurs decide, hey, we're throwing ourselves out of this race, rest is more important than us getting the one seed. You know, then Durant's going to rest and Melo's going to keep playing. But, you know, then flip side, what we talked about with the Knicks. If you lock two up, then Melo's going to rest. So it's going to come down to who plays, because whoever plays is going to have the numbers.
Yeah, I guess that's right, because whoever plays is definitely, it's all it's going to take is to get, you know, 30 points, whatever, that last, you know, 30, 40 points, depending on where you are in the...
It also means more to Melo, because Durant's won it before.
You know what? I think it's surprising that Melo's never won a scoring title. He's a scoring champ. You know, he has that. He should get it. Three in a row. This would be his fourth in a row.
Three in a row. I thought he won two in a row.
No, three in a row. This is going to be his fourth in a row.
There you go. It means something to Durant, too. You'd want to get it. I would say if he won, like, two and then didn't win last year, it wouldn't be as important. But that streak, four in a row, like, you know, where does it stop? He could essentially win, like, 10 in a row.
Yeah, I think Melo needs it for his legacy. He needs it for the resume. Yeah, he will, but it'll be nice, you know, because it'll be nice, you know, for people 20 years from now looking back to see his stat line without having seen him play, to at least see that he won a scoring title.
Yeah.
Back in the Knicks' amazing run of 2012-2013.
Yeah, when they won the title.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I look forward to this week. I hope we, we're definitely going to clinch the Atlantic.
Which is nice, man, and that is something that we can't understand here. They haven't won it since 93, right?
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good.
If you look at the teams that have won it since then, they don't even exist in this conference anymore. The Magic have won it twice. The Heat, like, it's just crazy that the Knicks haven't won it, but we get it. We get why. It's not unexplainable. They've made a lot of bad moves. So.
Yeah. No, man.
Why does this team suck? Like, no, you can pinpoint exactly why it sucks. So...
Yeah, no, this has been a good run, man. This is exciting. I hope Melo drops like 60 on tomorrow night.
Pad his stats.
Yeah, I feel like it would be a good game for him to pad against Washington.
Washington's good defensively, though.
Yeah, but Kevin Serafin's going to be guarding him.
He kind of played well that last game, Karen
Smith. Nah, that guy is real garbage. Yeah. All right, man. Well, we will talk to you again next week. Tune in next week for another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan.
Okay, buddy. Cheers.
Bye.